Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Well, welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel. I am so excited to have you here today. Today, my guest is Linda Beach, and it's going to be a great show. But before I introduce her, I want to just take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy day to share with us here on the show. So today, I want to give a shout out to my listeners in the UK. I am so honored that I get to share these messages and these wonderful guests with people all over the world. Now, I know I've said this before, but I think that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from a heart-centered place, and you want to make a difference in the world. And so perhaps this is you. And that's why you've decided to join us here on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. I know that you're going to enjoy another great show today. And I always want to hear from you. If you've got comments or people you'd like me to try to get on the show, reach out to me at my website at bonniegressel.com or connect with me on Facebook. I have a public group out there now called Entrepreneur Mastery, which is got wonderful people in it. It's a place where we can all support one another on this journey as a holistic entrepreneur. Now, maybe you have a message to share and you want to reach more people with that message. The classes that I run for Expand Your Reach with podcasting run every couple of months, and I'll always put a link on the show page so that you can get more information on that if you're interested. It's not as hard as you'd think, and it's not as expensive as you'd think either. So I would love to connect with you if you have questions. Allow me to introduce our guest for today.
Linda Beach is a passionate entrepreneur and the founder of the International Spa Institute. She has spent the last two decades helping people change their careers and their lives and is a respected teacher, lecturer, and freelance writer for the spa industry. In addition to dozens of appearances on stage, Linda's authored a textbook and her articles are in wide variety of wellness topics that have been published numerous times in both magazines and in newspapers. Linda recently sold her business and all of her belongings to embark on her lifelong dream to live in the Caribbean and travel the world. She is now a certified Dream Builder Life Coach who devotes her time to helping clients discover their passion and live the life that they have always dreamed of. Linda is most excited about her upcoming series of transformational retreats to be held in exotic places around the world. Participants will not only immerse themselves in another culture, but also return home with valuable new skills and tools to help them attract more abundance in all areas of their life. This first retreat will be held in Bali, Indonesia, in February of 2017. For more information, you can visit her website at apassionatedreamlife.com. Well, welcome, Linda. I am so excited to have you here today to share your expertise and wisdom with all of us.
Well, thanks, Bonnie. I'm so happy to be here. This is like a topic I am so passionate about. What a great idea. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's get into it. You know, I've been asking people to sort of take a look back on their journey, because everybody's got a story, right? Or probably many stories. How mindset has played a role in their journey so far and how that's helped them to, you know, reach that financial freedom and that place of success that they are today.
Wow. Well, I've had quite a journey as an entrepreneur because I have been an entrepreneur for 35 years.
Oh my.
So during
and
that,
you don't look like you've been an entrepreneur for 35 years, Linda.
Oh, thanks.
I've seen your picture.
Yeah, I jokingly tell people I started my first business when I was 4. So Anyway, no, I was actually in my early 20s when I started my first business, and it started kind of out of a necessity because I started college just like all good daughters should and found myself pregnant at 18, and my father basically said, if you're gonna, you know, go forward and become a mom, I'm withdrawing all support. And I had to drop out of college. So I chose that path. Thankfully, I have a beautiful daughter who's about to get married. And when I decided I was going to start my first business, I was in my early 20s, and I really had no idea what I was doing, but I was determined. I've always been a leader. I've always liked the independence, the idea of the independence of starting my own business. But I knew I needed to really wrap my mind around, you know, how to go about creating a mindset for being successful, because, you know, like you mentioned, I think mindset is the most important part of my entrepreneurial journey. I think just about anyone, when they're trying to create something successful in their life, they have to wrap their mind around it and get straight. So, I was positive, you know, going forward, but I had a lot of things to learn. So I studied. I really threw myself into creating a prosperity consciousness. I started reading a lot of books on the law of attraction. And even though at that time I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I really wasn't sure, you know, how to have my first business, I knew that having, you know, very little money at that time was just a temporary state, and that mindset was the very first hurdle that I needed to overcome. So that was the beginning of my journey 35 years ago. And since then, I've actually started, oh gosh, probably a dozen businesses. Some have been successful, some not so much. but even the businesses that didn't succeed, they taught me a lot. In fact, the failures were probably as much or even more valuable than the successes, because obviously, you know, failures teach you what not to do. But for me, they taught me, more importantly, what not to think.
Can you expand on that a little bit? I mean, you talked about the prosperity consciousness, and I kind of want to go back to that a little bit. But can you elaborate on how the businesses that maybe didn't succeed as well teach you how to think, you know, that whole mindset piece, as opposed to what not to do?
Absolutely. So every time I had a business that was really struggling, it usually was because of two things, either my money mindset or my money management. Well, actually, most likely both. I've never been great at managing money. I've always been good at making money. But, you know, even today, I'll admit that I'm not the best money manager. So I actually just purchased Anthony Robbins' book, Money, Master the Game, which is phenomenal. And so I feel like I wish I had found that book, or he had written that book 30 years ago, because it would have helped me immensely. But the other half of that is the money mindset. And so thinking back, I'll tell you the most recent business, because that one exemplifies this whole money mindset journey. So I started massage school in 1998, and I had this vision, and that's the beginning. The very first part is really imagining and dreaming what you want the business to look like, and I've gotten pretty good at that by that point. So I had this vision for what I wanted to create, and I set about working really hard, and the business grew. And after 2 years, I opened a second location, and I added an aesthetic school. And then a couple years later, I added a third location. I mean, I was on a roll. I had this, you know, great vision, and students were coming, and it was all about, you know, giving back and trying to help the industry. And I was going along, and somewhere along the way, I think I forgot to be grateful for what I had. And I started hitting some serious bumps in the road. And it became overwhelming, back to the whole money management part, because I didn't do so well at that. But when the recession came along and the economy experienced some serious difficulties, my business was no exception. I mean, I started finding challenges, and things started kind of crumbling around me. And I know that some of your listeners are thinking, well, you know, yeah, I've had a business and there were ups and there were downs, but what happens when you're in the down part is the most important part. Because when I found things crumbling basically around me, I kind of just lost it. Like I got so overwhelmed in that sense of loss and panic. I was constantly like in this panic mode about, oh my God, I'm losing this. And looking back, because to me, what I had created was like defined me. Like I felt like my father was finally proud of me because I had this fabulous business and I was buying real estate and, you know, I was living my life how I thought, actually my father thought I should live my life, trying to make up for disappointing him, I think, earlier in my life.
Mm.
So I purchased this beautiful 10,000 square foot building for my largest school. And I just felt like, oh my God, I had arrived. I am now successful. He was proud of me. He told everyone I was, you know, a president of a college, for goodness sake, which I wasn't. But nonetheless, my business actually during that time grew to seven figures. Like I had this amazing income. I had money to do whatever I wanted. I spent it. I was having a great time, but I wasn't grateful. And when things started falling down and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? I started identifying with the loss as a failure personally. Like I personally am a failure. Not that I, you know, that the economy's tanking or, or I might have, not managed my staff well or whatever. I just completely felt like a failure. And I fell into this ridiculous state of despair and depression. And I think as a business owner, when you get to that place, if you could identify it early on, the first thing you need to do is look for somebody that can, like, that you can reach up to and help you, like ask for help, which I didn't do. I was much too proud. I was much too afraid to admit that I had made a mistake, which honestly, looking back, I hadn't made a mistake. My biggest mistake was thinking I had or thinking that I was a failure. So the entire thing came to a head on the day that I sat in a courtroom as I watched my 10,000 square foot building, which was symbolic of my success, be auctioned off to the highest bidder. It had gotten to the point where I couldn't make the mortgage payment. I couldn't keep, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't ask anyone for help. And so I sat all alone in the courthouse and I watched this building go up for auction for half of what I paid for it. And I walked out the door and I sat in my car and I cried for an hour. I was inconsolable because I felt like I had failed and I didn't know what to do. So that was honestly, that was my deepest state of despair. And so that was a turning point for me, honestly. At that point though, I had one school left and I thought, you know what? You have nothing else. I didn't have any savings. You know, for people that are entrepreneurs, you know that a lot of times we don't have insurance. I mean, I'd been working and spending my money and not saving it. So I decided to salvage what I had left. So I had one school left. I threw my heart and soul into rebuilding my business, but my heart wasn't in it. Like I did it kind of like I was robotic about it. I was like, okay, well, this is a business. You got to do something. That's all you have left, you know. Do something about it. But in the back of my mind, that's when I started thinking like, it's time. It's time to do something else. You know, I felt like it had run its course. I had been of service and I wanted to get rid of it. And I'm getting to a point here, I promise, because when I made a decision that I needed to let go of what was left in my business, I went about building it back up and it became, very successful, you know, fairly quickly, but I kind of resented it because for me, it reminded me of everything that I lost. So I kept thinking, I want to sell this business. because I want to go do something else. And at the time, I hadn't really defined what that was. But yet I went to work every day resenting my business and thinking, well, I just can't wait to get rid of it. I can't wait to get out of here. You know, I just want to let go of it. And that became kind of a turning point for me when I realized that I wasn't loving my business. And if I'm not loving it, who the heck is going to come along and buy it and love it too?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So
once I came to this realization that I needed to really become more grateful for a business that honestly had given me years and years of wonderful, like, happiness. It had provided for my family. It had created new careers for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, my business had been a vehicle of service to so many people. But I found myself, you know, resenting it just because I was ready to move on. So I changed my mindset at that point to become grateful for this business that I had created. Because even if you're ready to move on to something new, you're not going to be able to let go of it unless you're grateful for what it has given you. Mm. So from that moment on, I went in every day, and I had no idea at that point, like, who's going to buy this business. I honestly had just gone through bankruptcy, but yet I was recreating this business and building it back up because I had no other choice. But I went in every day and I worked hard and I thanked it. I said, you know, business, I love you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. And I just was filled with gratitude and love for this business that I created. And that was a huge, huge turning point for me. Huge.
Mm. That's an amazing story, Linda. Oh my goodness. And how it's always interesting to me how it comes back to something that is simple, not easy, but simple, is to just go back to the core and be grateful for what you have. And it sounds like things started to turn around for you then.
Yes, you're right. It's funny because, you know, in theory, people, you know, I talk to people all the time about gratitude and they're like, well, that's easy. You know, I'm grateful. It's actually, it takes a little bit of effort to really stay in a place of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work at it. You, like, every day, and setting up some type of rituals really helps. So every single day when I get up, I take my dog for a walk, and I live in a beautiful place, beautiful place. And when I take her for a walk, I actually have these, I sing these stupid little songs to myself, and sometimes I sing them out loud. Oh my gosh, my neighbors have probably heard me marching by their houses singing. I make up these silly songs and I sing them out loud, and I sing about, you know, I love where I live. I'm so grateful for the trees. I'm so grateful for the bees. I mean, some of them rhyme, some of them don't, but every step of my journey as I'm taking this morning walk, I am giving gratitude for everything around me, because honestly, even though I know that I'll be moving out of this place really soon, I want to be thankful for where I am, because it opens you up to receiving what's next. So in my business, you know, this all kind of happened, the whole change in my mindset and really focusing on gratitude for a business that had, I want to say, broken my heart, but, you know, had been such an up and down roller coaster, and more recently had been down, when it, about a year and a half ago, this all started. And so as I'm going to work every day, and I get up and I'm taking my dog out and I'm grateful for where I live, I then went to work and I walked into every room at my school and I was grateful. Thank you so much for the beautiful books on the shelves. I mean, it sounds silly, but everywhere I just thanked it. I what a beautiful building. What a beautiful setting. I love the trees. I love, even if there was a challenge, I loved it. I loved it for the lesson I was getting from the challenge. I loved all of it. And the more I loved it, the more it grew, and the business started to flourish. Well, obviously, if you're going to sell a business, you know, you have to have something viable. But I was still left up with that big question mark of, like, I don't have the financial foundation, the paperwork to show a potential buyer, hey, this business, you know, is flourishing today, but the last few years have not been so great. So questions popped up in my mind about, you know, who am I going to sell this to? And right around that time, I had decided to become a life coach. And I found the Dream Builder program, which you said that you have, this is called the Dream Builder.
The Dream Building Event.
The Dream Building Event. Oh my gosh, so perfect. Because
isn't it?
It is. Because when you start deciding that you want to change and you want to really go after a dream, whether it's, you know, wherever you are now, but once you decide for your dream, you actually have to start taking action steps. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you have to kind of, you know, take action. So the first thing I decided to do was beyond the gratitude. Okay, now what? What the heck do I do now? Okay, well, what do you want to do next? And I wasn't quite sure, but I knew that I still wanted to work with people, and coaching seemed like a really great fit. So I found the Dream Builder Life Coaching Program, and I enrolled in life coaching at the same time I'm doing, you know, nurturing my business and loving my business and growing my business. And through the process of becoming a Dream Builder Life Coach, I was able to get really clear about my dream. That's really important, to get super duper crystal clear. So part of that process is, and when defining your dream, there's kind of five steps that when you create a dream that you need to test your dream. So the first one is, does it give you life? So when I'm thinking about what do I want to do next, you know, and I'm imagining myself living in the Caribbean, you know, and I'm thinking about this future business, and it gives me life. Like, it gets me excited. So that was the first thing. No problem there. Does it align with my core values? Well, everything that I'm imagining I wanted to do going forward is all about being of service to others, to helping other entrepreneurs. I've been a business person for 35 years, so it's innate in me to help other entrepreneurs. I mean, that's only natural. So that was an easy one. Does it cause me to grow? Well, absolutely, because I'm going to have to learn a lot of new things if I'm going to be, and at the time I was making this decision about being a location independent entrepreneur, there's a lot to learn. So definitely going to have to grow and learn. Does it require a higher power? That one was a no-brainer for me because I've always been very spiritual and I believe in a higher power. But one of the things that I learned through the course of becoming a Dream Builder Coach is when you're defining your dream, it needs to be a dream that is basically so big that you really don't know how to get there. That if you know, like, if my dream is, you know, I want to redecorate my living room and the steps are, you know, shop for furniture, buy furniture, that's a nice little dream, but you know how you're going to get there. It's not a big enough dream. For me, I had this amazing dream and I just wasn't sure how to get there, but that's okay. That part you leave to a higher power. And then, is there good in it for others? Well, my dream is all about being of service, as I mentioned, to other entrepreneurs. So I kind of checked these off my list. So going back to the, I'm not really sure how to get there part, and back to my business. So I'm going back into my business and I'm thinking, all right, so I've decided I'm going to sell the business. But who in the heck is going to buy it? I have no idea, okay? But I'm going to just love it and nurture it and know that there is a perfect buyer out there somewhere for this business. So this was actually just last Thanksgiving when this was all coming about, and I met with my children for Thanksgiving. We had this wonderful celebration, and I sat down and I said, I'm selling my business. Now, my kids have grown up with an entrepreneur for a mother. My oldest daughter managed the school that I just sold for years before she went on to her next career. My younger daughter, who is an esthetician instructor, she actually was working in the school at the time. And my son, he's just always been a part of it, whether it's painting walls or building furniture, just getting facials and massages. You know, my kids grew up in my business. So on Thanksgiving, I told them I'm selling the business. And they were like, okay, well, it was no big shock. But I felt like just announcing it kind of solidified that decision. So the next day, I go to work. And funny thing is, my middle daughter who works for me, she's kind of a, I don't want to say a big mouth. She doesn't have a lot of filter, actually. So she's at the school, and she's kind of yak-yakking her mouth to my brand new receptionist and saying, I think my mom's going to sell the school. Well, 10 minutes later, my receptionist comes upstairs. Now, she was also a student at the school, and she said to me, hey, Linda, your daughter said you're thinking about selling the business. Is she going to buy it from you? And I was like, oh, no. No, she's great at what she does, but she does not want to buy this school. But I am thinking about selling it if you know anybody. And she looked me square in the eye. This young lady's 28 years old. Honestly, I was paying her, I'm embarrassed to say, but $10 an hour just to answer the phone. And she looked me square in the eye, and she says, I want to buy your business.
Wow.
And I said, what? You know, of course, the next question was, do you have the means? You know, and then I thought, wait a minute. The universe is providing you a purchaser out of nowhere. I mean, like, I would have never in my wildest dreams imagined that this person would be the one to tell me they wanted to buy my business. So I said, she said, of course I do. I wouldn't ask you if I didn't. You know, I've always wanted to own a business. I would love to buy this business. You know, how much do you want? And I'm a really good negotiator, so I know better than to put my cards on the table right away. So I said to her, well, why don't you think about that, what it's worth to you? Because when you sell anything, it's, you know, what it's worth to the buyer. So a week later, she came back to me, and she made an offer, I kid you not, twice what I would have been happy to take for that business.
Ah, wow.
Fast forward, leap day this year, February 29th, and we closed on the sale of the business.
Wow.
So it all came about out of my changing my mindset from I'm sick and tired of this business, I can't wait to get rid of it. Just like if you're in a job you don't like, you know, the same thing. Instead of saying, I hate my job, I'm sick and tired of this, give gratitude for the fact that you have a job. You know, and it's providing, hopefully, or maybe, you know, not what you'd like, but it's providing for you. Before you move on to the next thing, love what you have and then open yourself up to what it is that's next, and the universe will provide, as it did for me.
Oh, I love that story, Linda. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we have talked about so many awesome things along your experience as a serial entrepreneur. Thank you so much for sharing all of that wisdom and insight. Now, I know that you have a special gift that kind of goes along with that. Would you like to talk about that?
Absolutely. So one of the things I used to teach with my massage students, every time I taught a business class, and I'd been teaching for, I don't know, 25 years, my business class, I always started the class by creating what many people call a vision map, a vision poster, and I call it a passion poster because I'm all about creating a passionate dream life. So I created a passion poster packet, that's a mouthful, which is, it kind of takes you through the steps of creating this wonderful visual representation of your dream. So it has a little outline, a little questionnaire to help you define your dream, and then to like identify key areas of your dream, and then create this beautiful visual representation that you can hang on your wall and look at. And if you haven't made one of these ever, it is a powerful, powerful tool. I've made dozens of them. And it's funny, every time I go to make a new one, I look back on the old one, and all that stuff has come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful tool. So that is my gift to your listeners.
Oh, that's a very generous gift. Thank you so much, Linda. And, you know, thank you for sharing that story, that beautiful illustration about the power of gratitude. I think so many people take that for granted. So thank you for taking us along that journey with you today. Now, you know, we've talked about lots of things, and you know, people's minds are busy because life is busy. What's the one thing that you really want our listeners to go home with today? Maybe it's a piece of advice, maybe it's something we've talked about, a suggestion, or maybe an action step that they can take right now. What do you want to make sure that people leave with today?
Well, it's actually kind of a multi-step action step. So the first thing they need to do is really get clear about the direction that they want to go, define their dream. That's important. I think people haven't been given permission to really think into their dream. People think they have to, like me, I was being a dutiful daughter, thinking I had to do things a certain way. But you need to do things your way. So create your dream. Define it, like all the details, the passion poster exercise, that'll help you. And then you need to kind of think about the things that are blocking you. You know, maybe you don't feel that you're deserving of this dream. But the most important thing is to be thankful for where you are while at the same time opening yourself up to what's going to come next. I think that's the most important key is gratitude. And, third, I don't want to forget this part because this is very important. Asking for help. Find a mentor. That is key. Honestly, I've always been one of these people, a maverick, that I feel like I had to do everything myself or I would be a failure. And I've learned since, it's taken me years and years, that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's very important to find coaches and mentors that you can look up to, that can guide you, that can keep you on task. Basically, hold your feet to the fire to make sure that you move forward, but find a mentor. Very, very important part of this.
Oh, amen to all of those things, Linda. Thank you. Thank you so, so much for sharing your wealth of wisdom and insights, and even though some of it was learned the hard way, but all the lessons. Thank you for taking us along that journey with you today.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.